You know that song, The Pinball Wizard? Did you ever dream about being a pinball wizard? Being able to go to a pinball arcade and beat everyone there and just showcase your skills? Maybe you played pinball back in the day. You know, there's a great place in Hopewell Township that plays pinball now. Well, joining us on the phone is a guy who has studied pinball. He's traveled around, played the game. He has tips for us. He's written a book about it called Pinball, A Quest for Mastery. Beaver County Radio listeners, say hello to Tasker Smith. Tasker, how you doing?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on.
Appreciate you calling. I can't wait to get my hands on this book, Pinball, A Quest for Mastery. So you've sharpened your skills. You know a thing or two about pinball, and you're going to be coming to Beaver County, a place called Pinball PA, on Sunday to talk about your book, sell your book, and give us some pinball advice. What is it about pinball for you? Why is that a passion?
Oh, man, I love this game so much. I think what I love about it is that it's partly a physical game, it's partly a mental game, and for me personally, it's definitely an emotional game. It is... I got a little feedback there. I just love this game so much. I've been playing it since I was about 10 years old. And something about it, you know, like you played the Pinball Wizard song. It's like that's written from the perspective of someone that is super into it and just trying to discover how do you get to this wizard level mode. And so the book is really all about kind of unpacking that and sort of aggregating all these different resources to try to have some useful advice for people that really love the game or that want to learn the game and get really great at it.
Let me talk about, you said emotional. It affects you on an emotional level, pinball. What makes it emotional for you?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's a game of control. And the whole goal is to control, you know, this ball that's moving around the play field. And there are times when that ball will just slip past you. And if you're playing in competition in particular, and say it's a three-ball game, ball one goes great. You know, you feel like you got a shot at this thing. Ball two is a stinker and goes right down the middle. whether you had control over that or not, sometimes it feels like you don't. Sometimes it feels like you do. But, man, it can throw you into an extremely anxious state. And so so for me, that's what I mean by emotional. And then as a player, you have to figure out, how am I going to rebound from being – so flustered by this terrible ball and try to play my best. It's kind of you know, I think about it a little bit like you know, a field goal kicker, like at an important moment in a game, or like someone that's shooting free throws in basketball. There are these moments when you where there's a lot riding on the success of your execution. And so anyway, that's part of what I love about the game, is there are moments where you're just fully engaged and it's fun to just figure out, like, how do I overcome, like, whatever obstacles there are in my brain and my heart racing and my, you know, I've got adrenaline pumping through my veins. How do I get through that, you know, push through that to hit this shot and win the game, or, you know, sort of accomplish what I'm going for in the play field?
Pinball is a game with a lot of body motion, body movements. People will, like, use their hips, and then they're kind of like trying to make the ball move, or they'll sway their arms or whatever. You know, it's like you're trying to will it to happen. It's fun to watch people playing pinball.
It's awesome. And some people, you have to give them like a lot of room, because there's like legs are flailing and arms are flying around. And you know, there are like other sports, there's kind of courtesies about it. Like, you never want to be in the periphery of people's vision. You never comment on how someone else is playing while they're playing the game. In golf, there's a courtesy, like, you don't talk to the ball. So if somebody misses a shot, you don't say, "Oh, that was a close one," you know, because it's potential to really sort of throw off their mental game. But I love watching other people play. Everyone is completely different. That's part of what makes the game so great.
Well, Tasker, in your book called Pinball, A Quest for Mastery, available now, you even give some tips. One of them you're calling the perfect launch. And I didn't know until now. That's what it's called when you first, you put a ball in motion. You kind of use your thumb and your finger, you bend up, pull back that little thing, and, you know, let it go. So that's called the launch. And you have tips on the perfect launch.
Yeah, so there's, so at the beginning of every game of pinball, there's something called the skill shot. And what that means is you have an objective at the very beginning of the game to launch the ball into a specific location. And so what's challenging is having some kind of a repeatable and accurate shot, like as part of the skill shot sequence. So there is a down by the spring plunger that you described as the rod that you pull back that launches the ball. There is a series of calibrations, so you can pull back the plunger. So the tip of the plunger is theoretically shoots a repeatable distance each time. So if you pull it back once and you notice that it hasn't quite gone far enough, then you can pull it back to a further registration mark on the calibration marks and then release it, you know, trying to dial in kind of a repeatable shot. What I will say, though, is that even though there are calibration marks, you think it would be repeatable, it's actually the release of the plunger makes a big, can have a big influence over where the ball goes. So so there's some art to it. And again, this is another one of these things. You know, all machines are different, and they some of those spring plungers are a little sticky. Some of them, the springs are stronger or weaker, so you really have to kind of play around with that to dial in precision and repeatability.
You also talk in your book about skill shot targets. And there's the things, sometimes if the ball goes between two little flipper kind of things, it makes the lights go off and it makes the bells ring and everything. So that's important, what you're aiming for. And then you kind of get into that, I guess.
I do. And sometimes they can have a big influence on the scores. So one common objective in skill shots is to light all three of these targets that are associated with these pass-through lanes. And on many games, if you're able to do that, then the point scoring, there's something called the multiplier of the table. So the point score on the values on the play field actually change. So there's a huge benefit to succeeding at the skill shot. And every rule is different, every game is different. So the rules will be different, but you can be assured that every single game has got an objective you're trying to shoot when you launch that ball.
Well, this book you've written, Pinball Quest for Mastery, available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, bookshop.org. And you're going to be on a national book signing tour that brings you here to Beaver County on Sunday. You're going to be at Pinball PA. Have you ever been to Pinball PA yet?
I have never been there, and I am psyched to check it out. So according to my friend Ed Beeler, it's got 10,000 square feet of fun, which is a lot of fun to be had. So so I'm hoping, you know, if anyone is interested in this, I would love to tell them about my book. Come on out. Let's fill this place up. And I'll have a table with some copies of my book. You can come check it out. But it's just fun for me to engage with people. I love this game. And just this tour is just an opportunity to check out a bunch of amazing pinball destinations. Pennsylvania is pinball country, and there's a lot of energy. There's great places to play, and so I'm just delighted to come and visit.
Now, while you're here, you're going to be taking anyone on? If someone comes up and challenges you to a game of pinball?
Oh, man, I'll take on anybody. I can tell you that, you know what's funny is that you would think that writing a book about this would suggest that I have, like, mastered it, and then I'm now here to tell you about it, but really I am someone that's just like, I have just a deep love for this game. I describe myself not as a historian, not as a master, but as a pinball super fan. So I just love to play. I love to have fun. Of course, I play to win, and it's fun to challenge yourself and play as well as you possibly can. But I'm really in it for the fun. So if anybody wants to come out and have some fun, I'd be delighted to play some games.
Well, you're very upfront about it. You call the book A Quest for Mastery, and you're still very much on that quest, and it's taking you across the country. What do you hear from other people when you're talking to people who have read your book or know the research you've done for it? What do they say? What's the common thread that makes someone love pinball?
Boy, this is a great question. You know, if I could just sort of go back to why to write the book. What I'm trying to accomplish is like aggregating resources that are useful for people. Some of the feedback I've gotten is that the topics of I go a little deeper on things other than ball control and other than learning strategy, a little bit more into like the experience of what the playing the game is like. So there's this concept of flow states. You've probably heard this term, but like when you're playing something, this could be pinball, it could be a lot of different things, but a flow state is described as this moment when you are just so completely immersed in something that time falls away, your focus is completely on the task at hand, and in general, you're executing at a very high level of performance. So there's a lot of science about that. So I wrote a little bit about like topics like that, topics of like emotional regulation, some other things that are they're really intended for people that that have found in pinball this love of the immersion in this gaming experience. But the last book, the last great books written about pinball, in my opinion, about playing the game, were written in the late 1970s. So one in particular, I'll give a shout out to Roger Sharp, who is really like this amazing and influential figure in pinball history. He's going to be celebrating a birthday on August 1st. So happy birthday, Roger. But he wrote this amazing book in 1977 called Pinball, in which he sort of started to unpack what is it like to play the game and how do you play the game. But I don't know about you, but for me in my life, a lot has changed since 1977. And since that time, the pinball community has gone almost completely digital. And it kind of makes sense, right? So if you want to learn about the game, it helps to hear people talking and to actually see the balls in motion. But for me personally, like, I love to unplug from my digital life, and pinball is kind of part of that. Mm. So when I started thinking about how do I get better at this, I started looking for books, and the ones that I found that I loved were just from so long ago, almost 50 years ago. So what I'm trying to do is really honor that heritage of a couple of great books that were written but way back then. I've incorporated a lot of the rules that have changed, a lot about sort of playing competitively, a lot about culture. And I'm just really, like, my true hope is that this feels like a valuable a resource for people. It helps them to advance their skills, and also it just, like, deepens their love of the game. That's really kind of what it's about for me.
Just like some people like classic cars, and they go to car shows, there's people who love the classic feel of a 60s, 70s pinball machine, and they'll brag, oh, remember the one that Kiss, the band Kiss had, or they'll talk about their favorites. And what is it about the art, the whole vibe of a vintage pinball machine that attracts people?
Oh, man. Well, I can tell you, for me personally, you know, my first pinball experience was about 48 years ago. I've sort of been reflecting on this recently, but some neighbors of mine, wonderful friends, they had my buddy's dad used to love to fix things, and he was constantly just dragging things into his house to fix them. And one day, you know, 48 years ago, he dragged in this old pinball machine. It was an old Bally Dixieland was the title, from 1968. It was not working when he brought it in there, and I was sort of around him while he was working on it. And when that thing came to life, it was like magic. There's lights, and there's bells, and there's sounds. And so for me personally, like, I have a super this wonderful nostalgic experience when I hear and play games from that vintage. I think it's true probably for people that are into video games and other things, or like even like TV and cartoons. You know, you go back to this time in your life when that was like the center of everything. So for me, that's kind of a big part of it. But a part of what, you know, different people love different things about pinball. So there's tons to love about new machines that are coming out, like super sophisticated, internet connected, tons of video assets. Some of them are music based. Some of them are based on you know, Marvel stories and different kinds of, there's a lot of storytelling that happens in newer games, and there's so much to love in all of it. But I myself am a fan of the mid to late 1970s for me, were the golden age, like just before pinball, went digital. Things were, as we referred to as the electromechanical age. And that for me was some of the greatest games came out of that time.
Well, you're going to love the place you're going to, Pinball PA, and you're going to be there this Sunday, 3:30 to 6 p.m. They have over 400 vintage pinball machines and video arcade games from like the 80s, but they even have one of those, I forget the name of it, forgive me, Pinball PA, but it's one of the biggest ones ever made. It's this monster of a pinball machine. Do you know what that
is? Hercules.
That's it. What's the history of that?
It's got a pinball the size of a cue ball.
Yeah. You got to really use your hands and fingers and arms to make that ball move, to make the flippers move and everything.
Yeah, good luck nudging that thing. That's a big machine. But they are also they're somewhat rare. Not a lot of people have enough space to house those. So definitely worth the pilgrimage.
They've also got one, my favorite, it's the Iron Maiden. I'm a heavy metal kid growing up, and you pick what Iron Maiden song you want to play to as your, you know, and it's got all their motifs, and I could spend an hour on that alone.
Oh, man, that's a great one. So that's from a designer, Keith Elwin, who is, he has come of age in a time when, you know, he used to be a machine operator, meaning he put machines on location. And then he designed a homebrew, meaning he designed his own pinball machine, and he brought that to Stern, his manufacturer, or he teamed up with them at some point. I'm probably not telling the story exactly as it occurred, but he's the creative force behind that. He's made a ton of really, really fun games since then. Most recently, Godzilla and Jaws and Avengers Infinity Quest, which is one that I have in my collection. You get this when you get in the weeds. You learn there are designers that appeal to the kind of play that you're really interested in. You know, so some people like target shooting, other people like kind of more of a flowy experience with ramps that feed into one another. It's always fun to have some surprising motion. So sometimes, you know, if you find a designer you like, you'll find that other games in their catalog are ones that you also love. So I'd encourage you to find out, search out some other games in that sort of genre.
You mentioned Pennsylvania as kind of a mecca. Any of your research has it determined why it was so popular in Pennsylvania?
So there's a famous, there were a couple gigantic collections way back, and I'm not a pinball historian, and I actually have not played at this event, but there was a huge competition called Pinburg. In fact, I think it just happened this past week, if not this past weekend. But it was just this gigantic event that draws people again from all over the country. And so, part of what you find is when you have that many machines in one place, you've got connoisseurs around and collectors and people that love to play the game. And it's kind of a magnet of culture. So it's really fun to travel to events like that and see people. You know, often you'll see people that you know from event to event. And there's really a powerful and loving like pinball community out there. It's part of what there is to love about this game.
It's an activity that the playing field is fair and wide open. You could be a guy, you could be a girl, you could be a grandparent, you could be a grandkid, and anyone can play and play well and have fun doing it.
So you know what's so funny about that? I love that you sort of mentioned that. If I'm trying to compete against, let's just say, a basketball player, and they're 6.5 feet tall and they're dunking baskets, it's obvious to me why I can't compete with them. But I will speak, I speak lovingly about my pinball nerds and friends out there, but I myself have the posture of sort of a slightly doughy, 58-year-old man. And when I see some of the pros out there, like their physicality is not a lot different than mine, and they're, but they have learned over the course of their experience with pinball, it's sort of like you started with Pinball Wizard. You know, it's like when you're standing next to somebody and they're able to keep a ball going for 10 minutes, 20 minutes even, they're racking up these enormous scores, and you look at them and you say, they don't have a physical advantage over me. They don't have even necessarily like better perception or hand-eye coordination. I mean, there may be some of that, of course, but this is really sort of the great fun of the game, is trying to unpack, like, what is it that this person knows that I don't know? Mm-hmm. Like, and what can I learn from observing them play this game that I love so much? There's for me, there's moments in pinball where you'll see something and you'll learn something that will completely transform the way that you see the game. I'll give you an example. When you first start playing, like, the only thing that you know is you launch the ball into the play field and you've got these two flippers, and your only job is to keep the ball from sliding down what's called the gap between the flippers at the bottom. It's called a drain. And it's the only tool you have in your arsenal. So the ball approaches the flippers, and all you're doing is flapping the flippers wildly, often both at the same time, which is not good practice you'll learn as you sort of develop skills in the game. But that's the only thing you know how to do. And there's one important ball control technique where the ball comes down the play field, and as it approaches the flipper, rather than flip the flipper, you allow it to bounce off the flipper from one side. It will bounce off over the center drain, and you can capture it on the other side of the play field. That is like one of the very first things you learn when you're developing ball control skills. And when I first saw that, it was transformative. I saw it and I thought, I can't believe that person just did that. And when I say just did that, I mean they didn't do anything. All they did was they let the ball bounce off the flipper. So that was this transformative moment for me that totally changed the way I thought about what do I do with these flippers and how do I control the ball. So there's, for me, it's been this series of different insights that deepen my love of the game. And I'm always on the hunt for learning something from my neighbors when I'm playing out in the wild.
See, that's an example of the insights and insider tips you can get by picking up a copy of Pinball, A Quest for Mastery, written by our guest Tasker Smith. One more time, Tasker, you're coming here to Beaver County this Sunday, August 2nd. You'll be at Pinball PA in the Hopewell Shopping Center, 3:30 to 6 p.m. And off you go. You're all over the country doing this kind of book tour, right?
Yes, sir. Friday, I head off for, I'm going all over the place. I'm going from Vermont and New York. I'm hitting the Beast, which is a huge event out in Buffalo, which is going to be amazing. I'm going to Ohio and Pennsylvania, coming to see you guys at Pinball PA, which is amazing. Going to Kentucky, the Corbin Pinball Museum. I'm going to Tennessee to hit the Asheville Pinball Museum and the Appalachian Pinball Museum. Greensboro, North Carolina. Oh, man, I'm going all over the place. It's going to be amazing.
Oh, man. Well, we're looking forward to having you in Beaver County. Anything else, Tasker, you want to say to our listeners?
I am just so grateful for this opportunity to tell people about this. I feel like I'm an evangelist for this game that I just love so much. If anybody wants to come out, I would love to tell you all about my book. But honestly, if you haven't played in a while, I just encourage you to go find a machine somewhere, hop on it. It is just such an opportunity to unplug from your digital life and immerse yourself in just a game that is physical and mental and emotional. You are going to love it.
I'll tell you what, Tasker, I recorded the interview, so I'll get it on our website. So if anyone out there, you're listening, you heard something, you missed what he said, you'll be able to find it at beavercountyradio.com. So appreciate your time, Tasker. Like I said, looking forward to having you in Beaver County.
Thank you, Scott. Can't wait.
All right, what do you think? Should I go out on Pinball Wizard? We got to play the whole song now, right?
Let's do it.
All right, thanks for your time. Good talking to you.
You too.
Here it is, The Who, Pinball Wizard.